Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
This time every year, almost this exact weekend for the past 4 years, I've been asked to preach. And every time I have brought a word that has sort of been the it word from Horizon Youth in the gala season. And I'm excited to bring it tonight. So if you're taking notes tonight, the title of the message is Be the Vessel. Be the Vessel. We're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, it says this, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house." And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." I find this story so interesting, and there is a lot in this story. There is a lot in this story. It's about a mum who has lost her husband, and her husband has left her in debt. And in those times, what would happen is if the husband left the family in debt, the creditor would come and knock on the door. And he would say, "Your husband has left you in debt, and if you cannot pay the debt, I'm going to take your children as slaves." So here is this mum, and she's already lost her husband. She's so poor that all she's got in her house is one jar of oil. And she's soon expecting that dreaded knock on the door, where her future, her life, her love, her passion, what she prays for, what she gives to, what she lives for will be taken away from her. So she runs to the man of God and she says, "Please help. My future's about to be taken away from me. What I've worked for, what I live for, what I pray about, what I slave for is about to be taken away from me. Please help me." And he says to her, "What do you have in your house?" She says, "Your maidservant, I only have a jar of oil." And he says, "Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to all of your neighbors. You are going to get as many vessels, as many jars as you can. And you're going to shut the door behind you. And you're going to pour from your jar of oil into every other jar of oil. And what you're going to do is when you've got no more vessels, when the oil ceases, because you've got no more vessels, go and sell all the oil and pay for your debt." So she goes and gathers all the jars, her and her sons, and she pours out this oil miraculously until there are no more vessels, and that's when the oil stops. She sells the oil and her two sons are saved. Isn't it crazy that I find this potent, that there are so many strategies to save people. There are so many strategies to get people out of bondage. There are so many strategies to rid the world of addiction. But can I tell you, many of us have already noticed that there is only one thing that truly works. It's actually the Holy Spirit, the oil of God. There's only one thing that actually works, and it's the oil of God. When the creditor comes knocking on the door saying, "It's time to pay your debts," you can't whip out your self-help book. Eastern philosophy doesn't help you anymore. You can't just forget about that one. When the creditor comes, you better hope that you've got some oil in your house. And I want us to notice tonight that the problem wasn't the oil. This should teach us tonight that there is never a problem with the presence of God. God is never in lack for you and me. It's good news for you and I, because when we need more of God, there is always more of God. The problem then is there a vessel? Is there something that God can pour His power, His presence, His miracles into. The prophet says, gather the vessels and shut the door behind you. I think this speaks to that if you're going to live a life of miracles, if you're going to live a life of presence, if you're going to live a life in God, there are some things that you're going to have to shut the door to. You are going to have to, yeah, there are some things that you could open your door to everything, but if you want the oil to flow in your life, if you want the power of God to be constantly filling you up, if you always want to be a vessel, then there are things that you're going to have to shut the door on. And he says, you can't entertain this and have a miracle-filled life. He says, you've got to shut the door. The crazy thing is if you can picture it, what she went to get, they weren't special, they weren't amazing, they were just jars. It's amazing that the jar, not special in and of itself, but given into the hands of God, was the carrier of something so special. It's like a cup of coffee. I don't want coffee, I want the cup as well. The cup isn't that special. But you and I, when we go to White Horse, if they were to bring me my long black in and just pour it all over my table, I wouldn't really like that. It's also like if I asked Josh Smith to go get me a pepperoni pizza. Thin crusted. Pastor Tim taught me that. He also taught me to say that I have a voucher over the phone. I never had a voucher. One day Pizza Hut stopped realizing that, stopped paying me that, so I just paid full price for the pizza. Josh brings me a pepperoni pizza. Josh brings me a pepperoni pizza, and he just has it in his hands. I'd be like, brother, where is the box? I don't know what you think is happening here. This thing that is sitting on your hand, I do not want it. The box in and of itself is worthless. But without the box, I don't want the substance. I need the box. The first thing that we have to realize from this story is vessels are important. They don't get the glory, they don't get the honor. Jesus always gets the honor, but the vessel is important. This box right here, my 20 cent pizza box, sponsored by Queen Margherita in Cronulla, is absolutely worthless. Yet it is so necessary. It deserves none of the glory. But God says, if you bring me the box, if you bring me the box, I'll use you. It's symbolic of you and I. In and of ourselves, we aren't that special. You and I, we aren't that gifted. We aren't that talented. We aren't worthy of being noticed that much of the time. But when you put something of value inside of this box, all of a sudden people start to take notice. It's funny when people praise the box. They look at that amazing box, and I feel like saying, no, you don't realize. This isn't some amazing speaker here. This is the power of God. I'm just a 20 cent box. And when we start trying to seek glory in and of ourselves, when we're just a box, none of us are that good, and we let people down. Though the box is important, very necessary. It's what's inside the box. The second thing is you need to be clean and empty. The box needs to be clean and empty. For God to fill you up, go and get me some empty jars of oil. I feel like this message tonight is for like mums and dads who have wayward children and they're looking for an answer, and you need to say, God, I'm here to be a vessel again. I'm here for your power and your presence. Or for high school students that are tonight saying, God, I need you to do something in my friends because I can't stand it anymore. Or university students who are saying, no, I want to be the salt and light on my university campus. They're going one direction and they need to go a different direction. Or maybe a youth leader that says, I need my life group to be a safe haven for young people in the Southern Shire. All we need to do is say, We're ready, God. We're ready, God. I'm here to be filled. Are there any people here tonight saying, yeah, God, I'm ready to be filled tonight? God, I haven't come to play church. I'm here to be filled tonight. God, come and fill me tonight. Come and fill me tonight. God, I need to be filled. Because he promises if I get an empty box, I'll fill you. Clean and empty. If I were you, I would be sitting there thinking this. I may be empty, but I'm not clean. I'm not clean. I may be empty, but the things that I've done, the mistakes that I've made, the past that I'd rather forget about, but I can't. Jackson, I am not clean. I think we go searching for that feeling of clean. You know that feeling of temporary relief from our past? Actually, if I can be so bold, I really do believe that there are people you may be a Christian, but you have totally limited yourself from being a vessel because you think your past has dirtied this box so much that God would never want it. There are people, and you've had previous marriages. There are people, you've been into weird, wacky, I keep on hearing this phrase in my prayer, Eastern religion. You've been trying some really odd spiritual stuff. And you feel now that you've come to Christ, you feel that now you've found the answer, but you don't feel like you can accept it fully because you've dirtied your box. The good news is that Jesus Christ, he left heaven and he came to be a box. And he was the only one, come on church, he was the only one. He was the only one that lived a perfect life. And when he got to the end of his life, he was still clean. And you see, Jesus, when we were dirty, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever should believe in him shall not perish and have eternal life. Jesus Christ, the only one who was worth not dying because he remained clean. He submitted to the breaking of his box. And Jesus Christ, he went to the box and he was torn. Now, this is really important tonight, full on but important. Lest we miss the power and the divinity of what he's done for us. Jesus Christ, he was literally torn to shreds, cut of nine tails on his back, hung on a cross from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. And he died, he had his last breath hanging on a Roman cross, the worst form of torture you could get. Being beaten, a crown of thorns like squashed into his skull. Pierced on the side to make sure that he was dead, and he hung there. And what did he say? He said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He didn't say, I've been beaten here. He said, "It is finished." Because the truth is, he knew that there were going to be some people in the 21st century. He knew that there were going to be some people that needed forgiveness. He knew that there was going to be some people that wanted to be a vessel but couldn't because they were dirty. And he knew that he could save them if he came down and he tore his vessel. He tore his vessel so that yours could be clean. Listen to me. Your forgiveness, your righteousness, it is not a feeling. Although when you feel it, it's amazing. It is now your legal status. Your sins have been washed clean. Your dirtiness is gone. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. It's as if you never sinned. Such is the divinity of what he did for you. We get stuck and caught in the motions. We get stuck and caught in the motions of searching for that temporary relief of feeling free from our past. Can I tell you today, you are free indeed. You are completely clean. It is as if you never sinned. The power of church actually is not that feeling. It's just the fact that we remind you of your legal status. It's nothing new. It's nothing different from last week. We just remind you where you sit in Christ. And today you stand clean. So number three is, You have been bought and you have been cleansed. You have been bought and you have been cleansed. Every time that dirty feeling, that unrighteousness, any time the enemy tries to remind you of your past, tries to disqualify you, tries to say you may be empty, but you're not clean, you say back to the enemy, you say back to that thought, you say, no, I have been bought and I've been cleansed. So many times growing up, I have been riddled with the thoughts of my past. The reason why when I read this scripture and I've been meditating on this, it means so much, is because like you, I have been riddled by the thoughts of my mistakes and my shortcomings. And to be honest, the easiest way to describe it is dirty. I just felt so dirty. You and I, if you're a new Christian in the place today and you're still sorting out how to live a godly life, you're still on the journey. I think the main difference between me then, at that stage, and me now is I've gotten really good at reminding the thoughts of where I stand in Christ. Like if I think about, my freedom is no different to your freedom. But man, I've gotten good at reminding myself where I stand in Christ. I'm reminded of John chapter 8. And it's the woman caught in the act of adultery. And she's literally caught sleeping with a man that isn't her husband. And Jesus is sitting down teaching. He's sitting there teaching, and this group of religious leaders, this group of teachers of the law, they drag this woman kicking and screaming in front of Jesus, the perfect one. And they say to him, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law that you claim to have made says that we should stone this woman, that we should break her box. What do you say that we shall do? And he says to them, he gets down and he's drawing and he's writing in the ground, and they keep pestering him with the question. And eventually he looks up at them and he says, you who is without sin, you can cast the first stone. He goes back to drawing in the ground. And after a while, he looks up. No one behind him. A lady standing in front of him, thinking to herself, I'm about to be stoned by the one who can stone me. And he says to her, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? Church, when we believe in Jesus Christ, who can actually stand up to him? Because in that moment, when the thoughts come to accuse us, when the memories start to come and take away our sense of righteousness, when our past comes to creep up on us and take away our future, when you put Jesus in front of those thoughts, when you put Jesus in front of those memories, who dares accuse you? And he looks and he says, where are your accusers? And the only one that can accuse her says, I do not condemn you. So that means thoughts, mistakes, memories, you've got to go now. I'm not harboring you anymore. I know I had a previous marriage and I made a mistake. I'm not harboring you anymore. I know I did that with that person. I'm not letting you claim me anymore. Because I've got a new legal status in Jesus. And it is final. It is past, it is present, and it is future. My status is final. So that I can take up the task, the greatest honor of all, being a vessel for King Jesus. Being a vessel for King Jesus. the greatest honor of all, being a vessel for King Jesus, being a messenger of the good news, being a vessel for King Jesus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I believe that there are people in the room tonight and you have never experienced, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you haven't experienced the forgiveness and the freedom that comes from believing in Jesus Christ and submitting your life to Him. That means you have to submit to Him the hard places. That means you have to submit the dark places, the places that no one knows. But can I tell you, friend, He's a good God and He loves you. He loves you. He does not condemn you today. He says, if you believe in me, I will cleanse you of your past. I will cleanse you of your mistakes. I will give you, it says, the old is gone and the new has come. Righteousness will fill your life. Come on. If that is you tonight, I believe today is your day to open up your heart to Jesus. To open up your heart to Jesus. So I'm going to help every person in this auditorium pray a prayer. The whole auditorium is going to pray it with me. Pray this after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight. I believe in you. I declare that in you, I am a new creation. I am a child of God. I confess that yes, I have sinned, but I believe you died a sinner's death to pay the price for my mistakes. You broke your box so that mine could be clean. And today I come in line with your resurrection power that you would give me a clean box again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would love to know who prayed that for the first time. On the count of three, I want you to give me a wave. Ready? One, two, three. Give me a wave. Awesome. So proud of you. Awesome up there. So proud of you. So good. So good. Come on, who else today is saying, yeah, Jesus, I'm opening up my heart to you. Awesome, my friend. So, so happy for you, sir. Awesome. Who else today, and you're coming into line and you're saying, I'm opening up my heart to Jesus. I can't do it by myself anymore. I can't do it by myself anymore. Come on, there are more people in the room today. Come on, be brave. Best moment. One more second. Can we give those people a massive round of applause, church? That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Can we pray for them quickly? God, we just thank you for all of those people who just made a decision. God, we know that your plan for them, Father God, is for good. Father God, we thank you that as they've handed over their life to you, as they step into the new creation, as they start to journey with you, God, I thank you so much that you are going to change and transform their life. You are going to redeem their past. You are going to do something special and amazing through them. God, I declare, and we declare as a church, a new day over them, as they have chosen to believe in you. Come on, can we give them a hand one more time? Church, can you stand to your feet for me? We're going to go into a time of ministry. Yeah, I sense a couple of things for this time of prayer and ministry. I think there are people in the room today and you really do identify with the feeling of, I feel constantly dirty. There is a mistake that I made, or mistakes that I've made, that permanently, I'm a damaged box. I'm a damaged box now. Come on, you're going to come down the front. I invite you down the front and our life group leaders are going to pray for you today. And we're just going to break that. You know, years of thinking like in that way do need some powerful prayer to just break that. You know what I mean? So I believe ministry is for you. I believe that there are other people and you're saying, God, tonight I need to be a vessel to save this generation. God, I'm open for business. I'm here, God. I am ready. I am open and I am clean in you. We're going to pray for you too. I really do believe I just cannot get the sense that there are people, today's a day of massive freedom for you. You need to leave the past behind. You know, there have actually been Christians that have been, I just feel this prophetically, there have been Christians that have been labeling you by your past. There have been people that are meant to be good influences in your life, holding you to that which was happened 10, 15 years ago. No, we've got to break that today in Jesus' name. You're a clean box.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.